This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. Contemporary classical composer Sahba Aminikya came to San Francisco as a refugee. Born and raised in Iran in the 1980s, he left as a young man to study music in Russia. Then he got his bachelor and master's of music at the San Francisco Conservatory of Music. The music he composes is deeply tied to his Iranian roots. He's written pieces inspired by traditional work songs of Persian carpet weavers or incorporating the voices of Iranian women whose singing has been stifled by religious restrictions in Iran. Sahba came into KALW's studio to talk about his music and where it comes from in this edition of Bay Area Beats.
My name is Sahba Aminikya, and I'm an Iranian-American composer based here in San Francisco. I was born and raised in Iran in the 1980s, and I moved here to the States in 2006. This piece is called Night and Fog, or Shab o Meh in Farsi. I wrote this piece specifically depicting what happened to me in 2012. I was going back and forth between Iran and the United States. I went back to Iran in December, and it was at the ending reign of President Ahmadinejad. And basically, I was abducted and arrested in front of my parents' house, blindfolded, handcuffed, and pushed into a car. And three people with guns basically took me on a ride. A few months before, I had an interview with American TV, Persian-speaking American TV. And that was the reason that I was getting arrested. They noticed that I was doing that, and I was now in Iran. So they arrested me, took me on a five-hour ride, basically beat me up. And they asked me many questions about where I was coming from, where was supporting me, like financially, you know, was it an American spy agency or anything that has related to U.S. intelligence. And basically, I was taken to a desert outside of Iran near the shrine of Khomeini, who's the founder of the Inqilab, ironically, and they left me there in the middle of the desert. They put a gun in my mouth and asked me if I'm a Baha'i. I should say it three times and they can kill me. So the guy started pulling the trigger in my mouth, and there was no bullet in the gun, and they left me there half naked and with all my clothes off and all my documents taken and with pepper spray in my eyes and in my nose and mouth. I woke up and I had this amazing epiphanic moment. Basically, when I was seeing this blurry line of lights coming from Iran, you know, and it was so beautiful. I think it's one of those moments that you realize that you are the only one who have maybe that kind of experience, and at sometimes you realize that you have to take advantage of that moment and find some sort of beauty in that and meaning in that, otherwise you wouldn't be able to continue. They asked me to get back to Iran in 48 hours and come back, and I never come back to Iran. And I've been here since, and I've written three pieces about that incident, you know, so that is an exorcism piece in a way. When coming to this country, I realized that this is a new culture. I have to find my own roots here. But at the same time, I realized that many of the events that happen in my life, you know, when I want to actually express them in any way here, that it would be too weird and it would be very harsh and extreme for people. And it's sometimes hard for them to absorb that sort of situation. I mean, for us living in Iran, you know, during the 80s, I'm talking about it right now, and I'm as just part of a history. I'm telling the stories that happened to me. But we have to realize that even those times, we were very happy people living in that city, because I think it's part of the human nature that you find your own ways of surviving, and those skills, like evolutionary skills, that you can basically rely on and survive the harshest situations. My first musical memories actually go back to the 80s when I was growing up in Iran. And right after the revolution, after the 1979 Islamic Revolution in Iran, music was entirely banned from the eyes of the public, you know, and that applies to radio, television, everywhere. after the music was actually, you know, started to get regulated, you know, under a specific ministry for culture, the only source of music on TV and radio was basically either the children programs or religious music, basically, and or revolutionary songs. You know, that was part of the political propaganda as well. Basically, the only window of hope for us, you know, for children, was to actually sit at 5 p.m. and watch this amazing TV show, you know, for an hour. Was like a collection of different kind of stories, puppets, all sort of shows for children. That was the only part of our life, you know, that we could actually listen to music that was secular and wasn't, you know, following any political agenda. And many composers and musicians those days, actually, they moved to the TV because it was state TV. You know, there were only two analog channels on TV. It created actually a generation of composers and artists during that era, which were obviously under pressure, you know, and it was a hard time to live. But they all basically expressed themselves inside of that tiny window of opportunity that they had, you know, in order to invest in the next generation. That's what they did, I guess. It's common in Iran, you know, to say that no matter how bad it is, you know, it might become worse. That's something that should be in the back of everyone's mind, no matter where you're living. And entering the States and realizing that certainly culturally, you know, we're very different, you know, coming from different backgrounds and different stories, but Iran and United States, I think we're very close in many ways. I think the fact that we're experiencing the same human emotions, the same human processes that we were, for example, experiencing 4 years ago when Ahmadinejad was in power, you know, and he was a populist and he came in power exactly the way that President Trump did. For me, it's an amazingly educating experience to see that the same loop, the same process, and the same flow exists in every single country. I'm the artist in residence for the Kronos Festival 2017. The festival is basically consists of 6 concerts, and we are proud to say that every single piece on this festival is either arranged or composed by an immigrant or a son or a daughter of an immigrant. We didn't plan this to be this way, and it was just a moment for us to actually celebrate our diversity. And I was writing most of the pieces while the election process was going on. And what's happening right now is that many of the people who were working for the festival are actually directly affected by this executive ban, illegal ban on U.S. green card holders, you know, and people with visa, with valid visas. This puts a lot of people in a position of limbo. And what we are trying to say here, and especially the sacred music piece, it's actually a collaboration between San Francisco Girls Chorus, Kronos Quartet, and a school in Afghanistan. At the time, you know, we were only working on this beautiful collaboration between these three groups, and we wanted to bring those voices from Afghanistan here. But now it has a very different meaning. I think by bringing those voices here, we are actually, in a way, teaching our own citizens and our own people around us, you know, that how to survive this situation and how to survive this totalitarian period. We planned something that we thought it would be interesting and beautiful and effective, but it became something that is, I think I look at it now as a live being. You know, it's part of the narrative that's going around us.